The disciples are struggling to wrap their minds around what they are seeing. Remember, last week, Thomas said he wouldn't believe unless he could see. Well, here they are, seeing, and they still don't believe. It's almost as if their belief or lack of it doesn't change anything about the resurrection. Who knew? My favorite verse in the story is verse 41. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. Other translations say, while they were still disbelieving, they were in joy and wondering. However you translate it, the point is still made. They were joyful and full of wonder and amazement, and they didn't quite buy it. All right, so I'm going to do a pivot on the start of my sermon because there are a lot of kids in the room, and I was going to tell a story about the sorry, but I won't because there are a lot of children still in the space. We're going to do a quick pivot to a different version. Back in 2016, there was a radio show podcast, you maybe have heard of it, This American Life, posted an episode about kids using logic to come to the completely wrong conclusion. So, if you want to hear the first story I was going to tell about that, which I will not tell for the sake of the children in this space, talk to me afterwards. I'm happy to tell you about Ronnie Lauberfeld. But there's a second story in this example. So Ira Glass, host and creator Ira Glass, said there's a certain kind of story kids tell. We've all heard it before, where they look at something going on around them. They observe the world they're in very, very carefully. Think about it logically, how one thing connects to the next thing to the next thing, and they come to the completely incorrect conclusion. For example, child therapist Eileen Goldman in Texas told a story on this podcast of a little girl on an airplane on her very first flight, and as the airplane was getting airborne, she turned to the person sitting next to her and said, "So when do we get smaller?" That had been her experience watching all the airplanes take off as she was at the airport. She's not wrong. They do get smaller if you are on the ground. She just assumed everybody got smaller. The episode is called Kid Logic. It is a delight. You can just search This American Life Kid Logic and enjoy a full hour of these kinds of stories. It's wonderful. And as you may be wondering, I promise it does fit into today's gospel story. Last week, we had the story of Jesus appearing to the disciples from John's gospel, that story of Thomas not believing what he was hearing from the other disciples. And this week, we have a different account of the same appearance from the gospel of Luke. This is, in my opinion, the funny version. I think this is the hilarious account of the appearance of Jesus after the resurrection. I know Luke, typically known as the physician, so you will notice some of these things are more physical in his writing. And he's not really known as the jokester, but I think it's the funny version, so bear with me. Right before this moment we have in front of us today of Luke's gospel, you'll find the story, familiar story for many of us, of the road to Emmaus, where Jesus appears to two disciples who are leaving Jerusalem devastated, walking to their hometown away from the city, just grief-stricken at the loss of their friend and teacher. In this story, Jesus enters their conversation, joins them in their grief and their walking, shares a meal, and then as soon as they realize it's him, he's gone. So they turn and run back to Jerusalem where the other disciples are hanging out to tell them what they've just experienced, and this is where we pick up today's story. They are all talking about Jesus in this room, comparing notes, who's seen him, who hasn't, who's heard this news, what's going on. They're just kind of trying to figure it all out. And poof, Jesus shows up. And since they know people don't just stop being dead, and they certainly don't poof anywhere in their experience, the most logical conclusion, kid logic, disciple logic, we're going to call it, is that he's a ghost. Obviously, this is a ghost. In response, I love that Jesus does not belittle them. He doesn't roll his eyes. He doesn't tell them, "Oh my gosh, you guys, are you kidding me?" He says, "Look, see, touch, I'm real. I'm really, really here." There's this funny phrase in English. It's translated kind of weird. See, I am myself was the translation. In Greek, it's ego eimi. Ego eimi, if you have remembered, both Chad and I have talked about this in sermons. This is the phrase that means I am. In Greek, that is I am. And in this moment, instead of all the other ways through these Gospels, Jesus has previously added on to this phrase, I am the gate, I am the good shepherd, I am the bread of life, etc., etc., etc. He says, I am myself. Or another way to translate that same thing would be, I am who I am, which for the disciples in particular, but I hope for some of you, is a callback to the story of Moses and the burning bush when Moses asks God, who are you? And God says, I am who I am. Ego eimi. I am really real. I am really God. He goes on, touch me, see how I have a body. Ghosts don't have bodies, which caused some conversation over here about, like, do we really know that? And I said, well, Jesus said so, so it has to be true. But ghosts don't have bodies. The word we translate as ghost here is pneuma, which you know means breath and spirit. Jesus is differentiating himself from the spirit. I have a body, he says. I am solid. I have mass. While they are still freaking out, which is the detail we'll get to in a moment, because that's my favorite part of the story, Jesus tells them he's hungry, and he asks for something to eat. He's like, okay, I'm going to need to take this a step further, because obviously appearing is not enough. So what is something ghosts don't do? They don't get hungry, right? And they don't eat, obviously. Another thing that caused some conversation over here. So obviously everyone knows, because cartoons have taught us for our whole lives, that food would just go right through a ghost. So obviously he's going to ask for something to eat. So the disciples give him a piece of broiled fish. I mean, fine, but that's not what I would choose for my first meal back to life. But okay, Jesus, I would chocolate cake, ice cream, anything would be better than broiled fish. And to their shock, he eats it in front of them. And they're like, oh my gosh, he's not a ghost. He has a body. And he's like, yes, I've been saying this. This is all funny. This is the funny account. It is not serious here. Luke is telling this story because it is hilarious. Luke knows that people were going to try to logic their way out of what they saw later. No, no, it really wasn't Jesus, you guys. That was a ghost. It was your grief talking. You wanted to think it was Jesus, so you thought it was Jesus. We wanted it to be true, so we imagined it. But it's real. Luke's gospel is so physical. This account is so physical. It matters that when he rose, Jesus had a body. He wasn't some spirit floating somewhere. And his body bore the scars of what he had been through. That also matters. And despite being a different story from a different gospel writer with a different perspective, you can see the parallels here from the story last week with Thomas. The disciples are struggling to wrap their minds around what they are seeing. Remember, last week, Thomas said he wouldn't believe unless he could see. Well, here they are, seeing, and they still don't believe. It's almost as if their belief, or lack of it, doesn't change anything about the resurrection. Who knew? My favorite verse in the story is verse 41. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. Other translations say, while they were still disbelieving, they were in joy and wondering. However you translate it, the point is still made. They were joyful and full of wonder and amazement, and they didn't quite buy it. Episteo is the Greek. You're getting lots of Greek today, you guys. Look at you. Which, if you were here last week for Ask the Pastors, you maybe heard me, remember me saying, is often translated as unbelief. The A of pisteo is the negator, so it makes it a negative word. So belief and unbelief, apisteo. But a better translation of this word is not about belief, it is about trust. You are untrusting. They were joyful and full of wonder, but they didn't quite trust what they were seeing. Amen. Just like I said last week to Morgan's question about feeling a lot like Thomas, when we don't quite believe it all, we are in really, really, really good company here. You can be more than one thing. Even if your logic is giving you the absolutely wrong answer, because it is in our nature to try to make sense of something that doesn't make sense, it doesn't change the fact that Jesus did rise. Again, remember, Jesus doesn't throw up his hands in disgust that they still don't get it and walk away. He does not give up on them while they are still untrusting. He stays, he gives them what they need, and he meets them where they are. You think I'm a ghost? Touch me. Still not sure? Watch me eat this fish. Whatever you need to believe I'm really real. I find this gospel telling so hopeful because more often than not, I don't quite believe this story. I struggle regularly to believe what I am seeing, to trust in what I hear, to trust in what I see. I do hold space for joy and wonder, and I still don't always trust it. I am a cynic at heart, and I question what I see all the time. We are this morning 3 weeks out from Easter. It feels like it was 1,100 years ago already. I can't even believe it is only 3 weeks. I finished my last Reese's egg last week, which is kind of a marker for me that the season is over. And so the question is then, what does it mean to be Easter people when the rest of the world has moved on? Jesus, after eating his super yummy broiled fish to prove he's not a ghost, helps the disciples understand all the things they've been hearing and learning from Scripture and from Jesus himself. And then he tells them they are witnesses. This is our why. Because Jesus needs them to talk about it. He needs them to tell the story of what they have seen, even when they aren't sure. Jesus wants them and all of us to trust what we see and to say what we've witnessed. All they do, all we do, is to be honest about what we've seen. We don't have to believe it. We don't have to understand it, thank goodness. And we know this is true because the disciples thought Jesus was a ghost. But they did see it. They saw resurrection. They weren't sure what it was. They weren't sure what was happening or how it happened, but they saw it. And honestly, that is all most of us can do. We can just see it. Witness it. In this way, we are, this many weeks after Easter, still practicing resurrection. We may not be seeing and touching the risen Jesus ourselves, but I bet you have a lot of stories of your own about what things you've seen and heard and touched that once felt like they were done and over or lost and gone forever, and then, poof, there they were again. We're practicing resurrection all the time. Look outside. Yesterday was 20% greener than the day before, and today it's like 40% greener than the day before. How does it even happen? I don't understand. Spring is magic in Minnesota, right? There is a lawn in my neighborhood that is full of wild violets. The rest of the yard is gray and muddy, that like brown, dead gray, muddy color, and that lawn is bright purple. That is resurrection. Did it look very, very dead a few weeks ago? It sure did. It is bursting with life this morning. There is a baptism this morning. The water represents new life. The Apostle Paul called baptism washing and rebirth. New life, just like everything else, we do not have to get it, we don't have to believe it in order for what happens down here to be true. And all of us gathered in this space today get to witness resurrection. We get to practice doing it right now. Our call as people of faith is to do this whenever we can, wherever we can, however we can. We witness and practice and practice and witness over and over and over until maybe we start to get it. Or maybe not. Resurrection is going to happen either way. I want to end this morning with an excerpt from poet Wendell Berry. He calls this an set of instructions for practicing resurrection. So friends, every day do something that won't compute. Love the Lord, love the world, work for nothing. Take all you have and be poor. Love someone who does not deserve it. Give your approval to all you cannot understand. Praise ignorance for what man has not encountered, he has not destroyed. Ask questions that have no answers. Invest in millennia. Plant sequoias. Say your main crop is the forest you did not plant, that you will not live to harvest. Say that the leaves are harvested when they have rotted into the mold. Call that profit. Put your faith in the 2 inches of hummus that will build under the trees every 1,000 years. Listen to carrion. Put your ear close and hear the faint chattering of songs yet to come. Expect the end of the world. Laugh. Laughter is immeasurable. Be joyful, though you have considered all the facts. Go with your love to the fields. Lie easy in the shade. Rest your head in her lap. Be like the fox who makes more tracks than necessary, some in the wrong direction. Practice resurrection. Amen. All right, so we went just the tiniest bit over, so thank you, but it was all beautiful and all worth it, and I want to remind you that you can just go out those doors right past the bathrooms and head outside to the harm reduction box dedication if you'd like to join us there. And before or after or whenever you want to come here and remind yourself that no matter what you believe it, whether you buy it or not, you have been given new life. Resurrection is real, and this font is a way we practice resurrection. So please come forward, mark a little cross on your forehead, remind yourself that you too are a child of God, and you too have received new life. So did my microphone. Look at that, practicing resurrection again. All right, so we take that promise with us as we go into the world that needs to hear it, as we go in peace to love and serve the Lord.